Hi, I'm Samantha, a past guest on CJAM's Handy Link. You're listening to Handy Link on CJAM 99.1 FM, reaching high ground in Windsor, Detroit.
Hello and welcome to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Mary Layton from Camp No Limits. So tell me a little bit about Camp No Limits.
Camp No Limits was started in 2004 in Maine. I'm an occupational therapist, and started a camp with myself and some of the therapists that I worked with, physical and occupational therapists that I worked with. Was working with a little boy who was missing all four limbs and just wanted him to have a chance to meet others who were like him and kind of gain that therapeutic benefit of what we were doing. And so we started in Maine in 2004 with just four campers. And since then, it's really snowballed. So we have 10 camps nationwide. Our focus is with our campers, and we take campers who are have limb differences, maybe born with a congenital limb loss, or maybe obtained limb loss from an accident or disease-related incident. And so now we take not only the camper, but we include the siblings and the parents as well. So it's a family affair.
So when you're dealing with someone who's missing all four limbs, as you'd indicated, how do you go about creating a program of benefit for such a person?
Well, I think starting as a therapist, my goal was to make sure that they understood how to, you know, the focus was more on, are they able to use their prosthetics? Can they do those sorts of things? And so our focus became more of the therapeutic benefit. So we do life skill sessions. I'm also a Pilates instructor, certified instructor. So we focus, and also being a therapist, core strength is very important. So that's a lot of our focus, is teaching our campers how to work on their core strength, and which then would develop into having those abilities to be flexible and functionally use their body as much as they can, and be able to use prosthetics if that's what they choose to, or adapt without prosthetics, and to complete everyday activities. So the activities we work on at camp can be from shoe tying to getting dressed to putting their hair in a ponytail to running to making sure that they can fall safely and get back up, riding a bike, learning how to run. Those sorts of activities. So we just focus on whatever it is that they want to learn in life and try to make them as independent as possible. So, but ultimately, I think when they've come to camp, the focus, I think the resounding focus has been on having the chance to meet others who are just like them.
Can you tell me a little bit about the impact that that's had on some of the kids, meeting someone missing limbs, for example, for the first time?
I think it helps them feel like they're not alone, and then especially if they have a mentor who can teach them some of those skills, as far as those life skills that they might not have been able to do before, I think, you know, makes a world of difference for them, and realizing that anything's possible by being able to see some of the mentors and knowing what's ahead in their future, not just for them, but gives them a sigh of relief, and I think for their parents a sigh of relief to know that it's not as bad as they might have thought it would be. I think most of our families that come have have the ability to be as independent as they possibly can, or we try to figure out a way to make things happen as much as we can.
So, are there any challenges in this work?
I think getting the word out and getting it so that the families hear about it and attend. I think at this point it's kind of keeping up with the demand. We have lots of interest and just trying to do the best we can to add camps where we can and continue to grow and keep up with everything. I think, you know, providing the scholarships that's needed for families is a big thing. I know a lot of the families have lots of other expenses, including medical expenses and things like that, so sometimes it's hard to you know, have travel costs and also attend camp as well. So we do what we can to try to keep up with sponsorships and seek out sponsorships when able.
So has there been any one success moment in your work that stands out for you?
We've had lots of them. I think this year one that stands out the most is one of our campers who's been coming for the last 3 years. She is missing all four limbs. She ended up with pneumonia and it went septic, and so she lost all four limbs when she was about 5 years old. And since then she's been rather quiet, and because of her limb loss and how short her limbs are, she hasn't been overall a very successful prosthetic user, so she's been using a wheelchair for the most part. Does do some things on her own, but still relies a lot heavily on her family. But this year has really kind of come out of her shell. Turned 16, she's really bonded with some of the other campers and has now started to try to be a lot more independent, and is now walking during physical therapy, walking on stubbies so that she's out of her chair and moving around a little bit more. And she's got some adaptations, but she's become a really great painter, so she's actually been painting some paintings for us, and we've been able to use those during fundraisers, and we've actually raised over $2,000 with her making her wonderful paintings, and I think that really gives her some motivation and some ambition to keep trying. So she has some goals for college now, and really, really now not relying on her family as much. So I think that's a huge gain in her independence.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for programs such as these, what would you say?
I think it's important I think the biggest thing is having the chance to meet others who are just like them is the biggest thing. I think that's the biggest challenge of not knowing, and the unknown is pretty scary. But I think once you're able to network and meet with others who are in similar situation, that makes the world a difference. So I think if you have that ability to do something like that, take those opportunities and learn from your mentors and professionals that are there to help. So I think mentorship is key.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Okay.
Remarkable, isn't it? When you consider someone who's lost all their limbs actually taking up painting. That just struck me as such a beautiful, touching testament to the fact that a person with a disability can and should achieve anything they set their heart to. Especially when it comes to something like art. The question is never, did the person who created this have a disability, and should I look at it from that frame? No. The only question in art that matters is, did it reach me? Did it affect my heart? Did it get me to look at the world in a new way? If you can say yes, then it's done its job. And the fact that she's actually been successful with some of her paintings in a fundraising initiative, that's as it should be. People with disabilities have been contributing to things like art and culture for as long as art and culture have been concepts. Fact is, a lot of the greats are the ones that you might not necessarily associate with disabilities. Take, for example, Samuel Beckett. One could infer from his works that there was a lot of depression going on, which is a form of mental disability. We look at it that way now, but at the time, they must have just said he's reaching into his mind and coming to a place where he's able to tap into something, something very different. Historically, disabilities might not be understood in that way, but an artist with a disability can reach those places that the rest of us cannot, because they can see the world as a depressing, dark place where there are challenges, but for many of them, they can also see there's this beautiful, brilliant hope for each of us, and that there's growth in our understanding of what makes the world unique. The growth may be small, hard to notice sometimes, but it's always there. Many artists with disabilities that I've had the pleasure of talking to, they have this wonderful knack for just seeing that. They're not thinking about limitations or what could hold them back from creating. No, they're saying, how can I use this? How can I make this creative and beautiful to reach people of all backgrounds? And that's what this young woman has done. And as for her dreams of post-secondary education, it's going to be the focus of the second half of this week's show, folks. But I say, go for it. Do whatever you feel drawn to do. A person with a disability can be educated, they can accomplish, they can achieve. It's all a matter of not underestimating themselves and not allowing others to underestimate them. HandyLink will be right back after these commercial messages, so stay tuned.
Windsor Optimist Youth Band presents Trivia Night 2017. Saturday, November 4th, bring your team that can be up to 10 people to come and join Trivia Night. $20 per person, which includes dinner. Doors open at 6 p.m., dinner served at 6:30 p.m., and trivia games begin at 7:15 p.m. Reserve tickets no later than October 25th. Located at Royal Canadian Legion Branch, 594 on 5030 Howard Avenue. For further details, please call 519-966-9350 or email information at woya.ca.
Welcome back to HandyLink, sponsored by the Italian-Canadian Handy Capable Association. I'm your host, Cam Wells. Earlier in our show, we heard from Mary Layton from Camp No Limits. She told us a little bit about a young woman who suffered all four limbs being lost, but has taken up painting as a means of expression. Now, I found this really quite fascinating, especially since she is now talking about her college aspirations. For a person with a disability to achieve in post-secondary education, it's a remarkable thing, but in no way is it out of the realm of possibility, thus leading to our next guest.
Wells here with Professor Ann Karenik, and we're going to be talking a little bit about accommodation services in the Office of Admin General and Executive Programs at St. Clair. So what can you tell me about what's available in terms of accommodations?
Hi, Cam. As you know, I coordinate the Office of Administration General and Executive Programs here at the college, and we have a number of students that require special services to assist with their learning, and we always encourage them to see one of our accommodation counselors in student services so that they can develop an academic accommodation plan. And basically, the plan outlines appropriate learning accommodations and supports that may assist in overcoming their disability-related learning barriers. So for those students who have physical issues that may prevent them from being able to type, there's the Dragon Naturally Speaking program, which is a speech recognition software package. And this program enables students to dictate text into the computer, and the computer then types out the dictation. So this is used in our program for timed writings and completing assignments such as letters, memos, reports, etc. We also have the Kurzweil program, which is an assistive technology that provides a reading, writing, and study platform aimed at individuals with learning disabilities or other disabilities that make reading or writing difficult. So this works really well for students with dyslexia because the learning materials are in digital format so that all schoolwork and resources are streamlined by using an online library.
So this wouldn't come as giving an unfair advantage. It's more like leveling the playing field for a student, give them an equal chance to succeed.
Absolutely, absolutely. They are there to assist them if the student has a need. But it's certainly not, meant to give them any unfair advantage at all. And we have counselors that are working with them at all times.
So you'd have to figure with all this technology, there'd be some challenges related to getting everything programmed accordingly.
Yes, unfortunately, there's always challenges. So the Dragon program sometimes cannot fully interpret text since it only recognizes text that has been dictated and not typed. Sometimes editing text with voice commands like, let's say, select line, correct that, or capitalize the letter cannot be performed because Dragon does not know where the edits took place. So it takes a while for Dragon to adjust to a student's voice, and there could be issues with audibility, accents, speech recognition that take a little longer to get used to. And once this happens, it's usually smooth sailing. I think the main challenge for students is that some just don't access the assistive devices that we offer, and some shy away from this because they fear the unknown or they are uncomfortable asking for help. And this shouldn't be the case because everyone has a right to learn and be offered the appropriate assistance in order to do so.
And from my own experience, the college has done some remarkable things in this. It's not something to be ashamed of, really. It's something that gives a student an equal, fair opportunity.
Absolutely. You're so right, Cam. We're here at the college, we're always looking for the latest technology and the most current technological applications so that we can become more sophisticated in our knowledge, and we will continue to provide every possible service to all of our students.
So if you could see anything going forward to help these students further, what might it be?
Well, I think we need to get the word out there, and I think we're pretty good at doing that. We market ourselves very well, and we let the students know the different services that we provide them. Just word of mouth and talking to students and reaching them at the onset. So as soon as they get here and they begin their studies, at our orientation, we need to, tell them and let them know what's available so that they can access whatever they need.
So do you ever hear any feedback from students about these accommodations, whether or not they've been able to succeed?
Absolutely. We've had a lot of very successful stories to tell. We have students who've said, without Dragon, I couldn't have done the timed writings. We had a deaf student in our program, in the executive program, years ago, and we developed a program whereby she could use our Express Scribe machine transcription by simply having an interpreter interpret what she heard and then sign that to the student, and the student was able to then type everything out for her. And she was very successful. She graduated from our program, and she keeps in touch with us and lets us know some of the jobs that she's had and how grateful she is for us giving her that opportunity.
So that's really going the extra mile for the student. It's an amazing thing.
I think so. I think we're always here to help them and make sure that there are no barriers for anyone.
I'd like to thank you for taking the time out to do this.
Thank you, Cam. I appreciate you coming here.
Of course.
In this segment of our show, I'll be chatting with Lisa Saran, who will be telling us a little bit about her experiences with disabilities yoga. So tell me a little bit about how Nicole's yoga program has benefited you.
Just it's really benefited me. I'm able to stand with assistance now, and I'm able to walk in a walker now.
So Nicole's program has helped you to do these things where you couldn't before.
Yes, my 5 years if yoga has really gave me leaps and bounds.
What sorts of techniques do you use in the program?
Breathing, exercising, cobra, side-to-side stretches, forward bends, back bends. It really helped me.
So, if you don't mind my asking, what is the nature of your disability?
Cerebral palsy.
And what other treatment methods have you used besides the yoga?
I also work 2 days a week with a kinesiologist.
So, what have you found to be the most effective technique that you've used?
Really, everything that I've done seems to be working right now. Because my back pain is completely gone.
Are there any challenges?
What are the challenges?
Yes, with the yoga.
I don't really have any challenges. I've been doing it for 5 years. Everything's become easy. It's like riding a bike.
So, how did you first get started with Nicole and the yoga program?
When?
How did you find out about it?
I go to a program called Harmony in Action, and they got me involved in yoga.
So, tell me a little bit about this program at Harmony. What sorts of things go on there?
It's a program with adults with disabilities, and we go swimming, we go bowling, we do a lot of recreational activities in and out of the building.
So, in all your time with the yoga program and with Harmony, what's been the greatest success moment for you?
Being able to walk and stand with assistance.
So how did you feel when you took that first step?
Amazing. I sort of got really emotional, and all the people around me got emotional.
So, what are the next steps for you going forward?
Just to continue with what I'm doing. And get some more challenges in life.
So, if you could send any one message about the need for programs like Nicole's yoga class and the benefits about it, what would you say?
Just try it. It really helped me. So, it's worth a try for you, especially if you have a large office.
Like to thank you for taking the time out to do this, but if you can stay on the line for a sec, that'd be great.
Yeah.
One thing that really struck me from today's interviews, folks, is the story of the deaf student who was able to complete a transcription class. Now, this could be especially difficult in so much as Sign language has its own mannerisms, its own dialects. It is its own language. And you'd need someone with a lot of skill to be able to properly interpret that. Someone who can actually relay it in a way that's not just meaningful, but efficient and effective. For a person who's deaf, especially, being expected to come up with a way to get through a transcription program, on the surface, to many of us, it might seem difficult to impossible. So, what do we do about that? We alter our thinking. Think outside the box just a little bit. Try to find a way to adapt it. Fact is, all of disability life is about adaptations. From the first wheelchair, which was essentially a bulky, non-functional piece of furniture, to the talk and type software we use today that enables people who don't even have hands in some cases to type and to create, to be a part of what society has to offer. Look at Stephen Hawking. He is, without a doubt, one of the smartest people on this planet. The fact is, without thinking creatively, without adaptations, without patience and willingness to come up with a way to challenge those myths and those first glances that say this is beyond our reach, he would never have reached his full potential. Same is true of any person with a disability. Same is true, women's rights, gender equality, cultural rights, anything. These things are only regarded as impossible until somebody has the courage to say, we're more than that, we're better than that. We are a people who can create. We are the people who can think outside ourselves, and we must stand for all our citizens, whether they move like us, learn like us, look like us, or whatever else. You can't be an enlightened society and a closed-minded society all at the same time. Fact is, no matter what the facet of life, be it education, be it self-expression, be it something like yoga, being able to find a way to reduce the pain you've lived with all your life. It is a matter of giving a person with a disability their best and our best. Because if we just say on the surface, there's no way for you to get out of that chair, or there's no way for you to be educated, we're shortchanging these people and we're shortchanging ourselves. We're saying we would rather accept the first answer than challenge this preconception. We would rather just live with the knowledge that we've done all we can do, instead of finding out, is there something more? Is there something we can create or do? And the fact is, things like talk and type software, it's a great example in my opinion. It was made for people with disabilities. They were in mind when the creators put it together, no doubt. But doesn't it make it easier for our able-bodied friends? Doesn't it offer them the same opportunity, the same advantage? Not to do better things, necessarily, but to do more efficient things. To recognize that this is something created for people with disabilities that can benefit all of us. Same is true of many advances, many steps forward. This has been HandyLink. I'm your host, Cam Wells, reminding you we're all equal. So get on out there and have yourselves a good one. Something tells me you've earned it, folks. We'll see you next week.